Huh? Okay, we're going to talk about the blessing of revelation. We may speak of a few messages from the book of Revelation over the next few weeks because of the times in which we live today. I believe sincerely we're at the end of the church age. I believe any day the Lord could come. But we're living in a time when there is so much to discourage us, like what happened this week, what's happening with our country. But we as believers, we've got to keep our trust in the Lord. We've got to keep depending on the Lord. We've got to keep serving the Lord. And so if you'll turn to the first chapter of Revelation, we're going to be talking out of there today, and we may go through several chapters according to how the Lord gives us time today. But the book of Revelation, don't be afraid of this book. I remember the first time I started preaching out of Revelation and teaching, I was over at another church, and one of the women said, I'm scared to hear what's in that book. She was a Christian lady. Folks, if you're a Christian, you don't have a thing to fear in the book of Revelation. Amen. Amen. You don't have a thing to fear. It's all good news for us. Amen. It's a book to give us hope. God in prophecy is telling us what's going to happen. And he began in Genesis 3:15 telling about a Messiah that would come, and he came. In Michael, he said where he'd be born at, and he was. And so Isaiah said he's going to be born of a virgin, and he was. Prophecy is telling us what God already knows, and he brings it to pass. And what's in the book of Revelation? Right now, we're in chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation. As far as the world's concerned, we're in chapter 3 in the Laodicean church age. That's where we're at in chapter 3. The next event is chapter 4, when we'll be in heaven. And as I said, that could take place at any time. But this book is to give us hope. It's not to bring fear to us. There's some awful things in this book from chapter 6 on to chapter 20. In fact, Jesus said this world's never had so much trouble it's going to be during that time span, that 7 years. So I want you to turn first of all to Revelation chapter 1 and verse. Let's go back to 2 Peter. Hold your place there in Revelation. Let's go back to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'll get it in a minute. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse 20, 2 Peter 1:20, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. That kills the theory that a lot have today that some old men sat down and wrote this book. No, some old men didn't sit down and write this book. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. God's Spirit came upon certain men, and they wrote down the Word of God. And so all the Bible is the Word of God. And it's true. Whether you understand it or not, it's still true. Amen? Now, in Revelation 1, verses 1 and 2, the revelation of Jesus Christ, or the unveiling, which God gave to him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Because of the times we're living in, I want, if the Lord allows, to share with you these messages from Revelation. Revelation was written to let us know what God's plan is for the church. God's got a plan for the church. The church is born-again believers. That's going to be the bride of Christ. And I hope you will not miss a single message as we go through these over the next few Sundays the Lord allows. You might want to make notes, have questions, and at the last of our discussions we'll have a opportunity for people to ask questions about what we've been talking about. Some 60 years after Jesus went back to heaven, John the Apostle is on the Isle of Patmos because he'd been preaching the gospel. And they put him in prison on this island in the Aegean Sea. And while he's there, some 60 years after Jesus has gone back to heaven, he's told to write down what we have here in the book of Revelation, the entire book. He's told to write it down. He's told 12 different times in this book of Revelation to write down what you saw. He didn't tell him just one time. He just kept telling him. Sometimes you just got to keep telling somebody something. Amen? Amen? And so John the Apostle was no different. The Lord instructed him, John, I want you to write it down. And over 35 times, John says, and I saw. And I saw. He saw these different things he's written down. Now, what he's wrote down, he's had to describe it in terms that he could understand in his day. He didn't know how things were today. He didn't know what a machine gun was, or a tank, or an airplane. That wasn't in their language back then. So some of the things that's in the Bible that John described, they, it's symbolic of what we know today. And so hope you don't get misled by some of the wording. But he had to speak in terms that he understood in his day. He's instructed to write down what we now have as the book of Revelation, because God wants us to know what's going on in his plan and his program. I tell you what, this is amazing, folks. If you have a good understanding of this book right here, it's more important than any college degree you could ever have. It's more valuable. This book here will give you peace a college degree won't. Amen? This book here will give you peace and hope. And wisdom. Hey, if you believe it, you get everlasting life. Amen? Now, in verse 19 of Revelation 1, look in your Bible at verse 19. This is an important verse. He says, write the things which you have seen. Jesus told John to write this. Write down, John, what you've seen. And the things which are. And the things which shall be hereafter. What John sees in this first chapter is the glorified Christ. That's what he saw, first of all. He saw the glorified Christ. He hadn't seen Christ in over 60 years. But now he sees him glorified. He'd never seen him like he is then. Oh, don't you know that's going to be an awesome sight to see the Lord glorified, folks? Yeah. The things which are revealed, well, the first thing he saw was the glorified Christ. That's point number one. Revelation is made out in a three-point outline. The things that are, the things which you've seen, and the things that's going to be hereafter. Revelation is the only book in the Bible in an outline form. And it's in a three-point outline, as verse 19 describes. The things that will be hereafter will be seen in chapters 4 through the remaining book of Revelation, which will be the throne of God, then later in chapters 4 and 5. To begin this book, there is a promised blessing to all who will read this book and hear the words of this book. It's the only book that promises a blessing. Isn't that amazing? Look at verse 3 in Revelation 1 in your Bible there. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So there's a promised blessing if you'll hear this book and read this book. And it's a great book. I'll tell you what, I am so glad that God allowed me to study and have some kind of an understanding of God's program, especially in our days in which we live now. Because life would be so dark and dreary if I didn't know what that book said. But because I know what this book says, I'm optimistic now. You know, I've got a positive outlook. In fact, every day I expect the Lord to come. Amen? I do. I expect the Lord every day. I expect to wake up in heaven every night. Because I know what this book says. And it's given me peace and joy and excitement. And I can hardly wait. And it'll do it for all of us if we'll concentrate on thus saith the Lord and apply ourselves. One of the blessings is knowing God's plan for the church and of our future. Folks, it's going to be something. We can't even describe how good it's going to be for all of us. If you're saved, are you saved? You know you're saved. You got to be saved now. Got to be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. You can't get yourself there. Nothing you do will get you there. Only Jesus can get you there. He's the Savior. Another blessing is knowing that God is going to destroy the devil and all of our enemies. Won't that be a hallelujah day? Amen? I'm going to have a fit that day. Amen? Yeah. Now let's look into what John saw. Let's turn to verse 12 of Revelation 1. Verse 12. Boy, I tell you what, now this is something else. And I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, John said. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Now they represent something. You say, I don't understand that. Well, it's going to tell you after a while if you keep reading what that means. You see, a lot of the things people question about is later revealed if you keep studying, keep reading. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. I tell you, folks, he had on a priestly outfit. He's our great high priest, amen? His head and his hairs were white like wool. The last time John saw him, he was probably dark brown-haired or black-headed. But now he has white hair. He's the Ancient of Days, folks. He's always existed, amen? white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Boy, he knows everything. And his feet like unto fine brass as it burned in a furnace. His voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun in his strength. And John said, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Can y'all imagine that? What's going to happen when me and you see him? I bet you we fall down too. We're going to see the one that loves us so much. Folks, you're going to see somebody that loves you more than you can imagine. And we'll see the scars. Oh, what a sacred, hallowed time that's going to be when we see the Lord, folks. When we see the Lord. And he laid his right hand upon me, John said. The Lord must have stooped down to lay his hand on John, lay it on his face there on the ground. And he said, fear not, I am the first and the last. I'm the one that's always been. Amen? That's Jesus, folks. Folks, he's always existed. In the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was God. He's always existed. I am he that liveth and was dead, he said. Said, I used to be alive and then I died. I like that verse. And behold, I'm alive. You see, I did. Jesus Christ really died as a man. He said, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. The Lord even made me in that, folks. Notice if you got a red letter edition of the Bible, these words are in red. Jesus is doing the talking here. Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. Let me tell you something. You're not going to die today. He's ready for you to die. Amen. Write, look at that verse 19 then. Write the things which you've seen, and the things he's seen was Jesus, and the things which are, that'll be the church age, 2,000 years of it, and the things which shall be hereafter, that's going to be the 7-year tribulation time. And he told John, I want you to write all this down. In the book of Revelation. And the mystery of the seven stars which you saw in my right hand and the seven golden candlesticks. See, he's fixing to tell you now what those things meant. See, the Bible interprets itself, folks, if you've studied enough. He said the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches. Many Bible scholars think that's a reference to the pastors of the churches. And the seven candlesticks which you saw are the seven churches. Those seven churches, John writes a letter to in chapters 2 and 3, the seven churches of Asia Minor. And we'll briefly touch them as we go by them. And so chapters 2 and 3 discuss those seven churches that God or the Lord wanted John to write a letter to. And the Lord's going to rebuke some of those churches. And some of them he's going to approve of what's going on in those churches. And these churches were not only those seven in particular churches, but they represent all churches down through the ages. We got these kind of churches in the world today. And it's sad that some of them are not following the Lord like they should. And we ourselves need to stay on top of ourselves. Are we really a Bible church? Are we really here worshiping the Lord? Do we really love the Lord? Do we really enjoy serving the Lord? You see, Jesus goes on and says he's in the midst of these churches. And he's in our church today. And he's checking me and you out. And he's seeing who's here and who's not here. And he knows why who's here and not here. He's keeping a record. Because the church is his body. We're his body. And every member is important in the body. How many of y'all like to have your right arm took off right quick? You wouldn't like that, would you? See, that's part of your body. See, when part of the members aren't present, it affects the church of Christ. That's what's happening in this 21st century we live in today. God has so blessed our country, we forgot about God, even the churches. And I don't mean to harp on it all the time, but this book says it all the time. We got so many false preachers out there today, it's pitiful, folks. It's pitiful. And people fill those kind of churches up because they're telling them something to make them feel good. Or satisfy them. We don't come to church to be entertained. We come to church to learn about the Word of God and how to live for God and to worship God. Okay, let me just briefly go through this in chapters 2 and 3. The church at Ephesus, the first church mentioned in chapter 2, the problem that church had, it lost its first love. And John used to be the pastor of that church many years earlier, but they didn't love the Lord like they supposed to. Is that a problem in our church? We don't love the Lord like we ought to. The church at Smyrna was going through severe persecution. But the Lord said, you're rich. Because they were standing fast in the faith, even though they were being persecuted. The church at Pergamos was allowing false teachings in it. And Jesus said, you folks need to repent. In the church at Thyatira, they had a woman by the name of Jezebel as a false prophet the Lord hated. In the church at Sardis, they thought they were a living, but Jesus said, you're dead. Think about a church thinking they're doing what's good and right and proper, but the Lord says, you're dead. The church at Philadelphia was a true Bible church. Hey, folks, we want to be a Bible church. Amen. We want to preach the Bible. We want to hold to the truths of God's Word. We want to come here to worship the Lord and praise the Lord and learn about the Lord and go out and serve the Lord. That's important. We got to go out and serve the Lord. Amen. Then there's the Laodicean church. That's the last church. This is the church age in which we're living. And we see so many churches today that's liberal, phony baloney stuff. It's so pitiful, so pitiful. They're so bad off. Jesus said, you make me sick. That's the church age today. That we got to fall it away today. You know what I think's happening right now? I think there's a lot of people leaving church because they weren't really saved people. God's just separating them out. Think about that. That's something to think about. at the end of the church age is going to be the rapture of the church. That's the next event on God's calendar. The ending of this Laodicean church age and the sudden rapture of the church out. And remember this about the church. Paul said it in Thessalonians and other places, the Lord has not appointed the church to wrath. Now, there's three kind of wraths. There's man's wrath. There's devil's wrath. There's God's wrath. And all three of them will be involved in the tribulation time. Think about that. All three of them. The Antichrist, man's wrath. Satan using the Antichrist. Satan's wrath. And Jesus Christ is going to pour out those judgments with the wrath of God on a Christ-hating world, folks. And God's going to get rid of every unsaved person in the world during those 7 years. They're all going to be killed because they're his enemies. They would not repent. Nothing that they experienced would cause them to repent. They were so stubborn, so hard-hearted. And they all will be destroyed during the 7 year tribulation time. Now the church won't be mentioned again now after chapter 3 till we get over to the bride of Christ. And that's what the church is. We're a spouse to Christ now. We're going to be married to Christ after we get to heaven and the judgment is passed for us. We'll go to the wedding of the bride and then to the wedding supper, etc. In Revelation chapter 4, let's turn right quick now as we move along. Trying to get it, just highlighting some things. We're going to go now and see the rapture is taking place between chapter 3 and chapter 4, okay? The church has gone to heaven. John said in chapter 4, verse 1, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first voice that I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither. And Jesus is going to come one day, and he's going to say, come up here. And I'm going to say, I've been waiting, Lord. Amen. Amen. We're going to be called up, folks. And when he says we're going to be called up, we're going to be called up. Amen. We won't have to do it ourselves. We won't have to jump. He's going to catch us up. Amen. And he said, come up and I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. Boy, will we get a tour when we leave this world. Won't that be something, folks? Won't that be something? It's going to be something, folks, to go to another world where there's no sin, no suffering, no death. It's going to be something, Brother Johnny. Whoa, no enemies. Nobody's talking behind your back, running you down. Amen. Won't that be good? Yeah, he said, and immediately I was in the spirit, John says. And behold, there was a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Think about this. John, he's a member of the church. Amen. Don't lose that. Don't lose this part. He's a member of the church. He's seeing what's going to be in the future. And he gets caught up to heaven and he sees the one on the throne. We're going to get to see the one on the throne, church. Won't that be something? Amen. Hey, man, we're going to see the one on the throne. The one that's been, he made this world. The one that gave us salvation in his only begotten Son. And he said, immediately I was in the spirit, behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat on the throne was to look up, upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. John could only describe the beauty and the glory of God in these words. He did not have the capacity. He didn't have the language skills to describe the beauty and the glory of God Almighty, folks. Folks, it's going to be something. You think you've seen something pretty? You wait till you get to him. It's going to be more than pretty. It's going to be glorious, folks. God is beautiful. Look what a beautiful world he made it, but sin has marred it. God's just a beautiful being, folks. So holy. So holy. Glorious. And his love for us is indescribable. It's indescribable. He loves us all so much. He loves everybody that much. And yet, most people have no time for him. They're not interested. What they would like would be for God to let them win the lottery. That's what their interest is. Amen. I wish I could win the lottery. Yeah. Yeah. What a sight to behold the throne of God Almighty with his beauty and glory. We cannot imagine the dazzling glory and the grandeur of heaven, church. We just can't even imagine it. But that's not going to be what we're focusing on when we get there. We're going to be focused upon the Lord our God. Amen. Not the beauty per se. After the church age is ended with the rapture, the church will be brought into heaven to go first of all to the judgment. We're going to be judged immediately after we're raptured. We're going to be examined to see how we serve the Lord. What did we do for the Lord? How faithful were we to the Lord? All that's going to be taken into account. And remember, you were given salvation. We didn't deserve it. It was given to us. But if you get any rewards when you get to heaven, it's because you served the Lord down here faithfully. You did what he said down here faithfully. So you have to earn rewards to get a reward. And there'll be a lot of people get to heaven, probably won't get any rewards because they got saved on their deathbed. They didn't do anything for the Lord. Just like the thief hanging inside the Lord. Remember me, Lord, and you come and you keep. Well, Lord took him to paradise. But you see, when he has been judged, what did he ever do for the Lord? Nothing. So there'll be Christians of the church age. By the way, there's only Christians in the church age. The other ages, they're called saints or children of God. Only in the church age are we Christians, Christ followers. So when we get to heaven, we're going to have to be judged to see what we did for the Lord. And he'll give us rewards that we have earned. And we won't get anything we didn't earn, nor anything will be taken away from us. We'll get all we were due. In verse 4 of Revelation 4, look at that verse. And around about the throne were 24 seats. 24 seats, in other words. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. Now, Bible scholars tell us this probably represents the church. 24 represents the church age. that after the rapture, there's these 24 elders representing the church. That's the best I can come up with in interpretation. About all of them say the same thing, that this represents the church. They're worshiping before the throne. That's what they're doing there. They have on white garments, pure white, denoting holiness. They have crowns of gold on their head, and it's a pure gold than what's down at Bob's in Lumberton, amen. It's the real gold, the real stuff. And in verse 10, it goes on and he says in Revelation 4:10, and the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power. For thou created all things, and for thy pleasure all they are and were created. Everything, church, was created for God's pleasure. Did you know that? You were created for God's pleasure. God created this world for his pleasure. He said everything was for my pleasure. Amen. So let's remember that. We are for God's pleasure. He wants us to love him, who he is, what he has done, what he's going to do, church. Let's don't be unmindful of what he's going to do for you. He's already given you salvation. He's given you a chance now to serve him. And one day he's going to let you live with him. Woo! He's going to let me and you live with him in his house. Amen? You asleep? Amen. Notice what's coming from the throne in verse 5 of Revelation 4. And out of the throne, God's throne, proceeded lightnings and thundering and voices. And there are seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Out of the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and voices. I've looked and I've looked and I've never found anything that's satisfying to explain that. There's just some things you can't explain. But coming from the throne of God will be lightnings, thunderings, and voices. I think it has to do with judgment, though. That's what I think. Because God's going to be judging the during the tribulation time, during our time of enjoying the Lord at this time. Isaiah the prophet tells us about those seven spirits, though. If you go to the book of Isaiah, he says, and the spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And it's talking about Jesus. Amen? The spirit of wisdom, understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge, and of the fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 2. This was personalized in Jesus Christ as he walked among men. He had those seven spirits. Now let's look down to Revelation 4:6. Revelation 4:6. And before the throne was a sea of glass like unto crystal. Imagine this now. God's throne, and before the throne a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around about the throne were four beasts, or living creatures is a better translation, of eyes before and behind. Listen to this. These creatures with all these eyes in front and back. We can't imagine creatures like that. We'll see all kind of creatures when we get to heaven. Amen. And the first beast was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third had the face of a man, the fourth as a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings. These creatures all had six wings apiece. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Think about this, church. Here's these four creatures, and all they do all the time, never stopping, they cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." That's the way they serve the Lord. Isn't that awesome? What a ministry. Bible scholars say there's some kind of angelic creature, apparently. But all they do is just cry, "Holy, holy, holy," because God is a holy God. By the way, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Amen. And He's a holy God, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. God's going to live forever. He's always lived. He's always been. Our little old finite brains can't take that in, but He's always been. Before creation, He was. And I think probably His throne now is outside of creation. That's what I think. He's above creation. He's beyond the universe. But He's everywhere also. And yet at the same time, it talks about a God that's present there, seemed like in some kind of a form, and yet He's here with us at the same time. Amen? You know why that is? He's God. Amen. He's God. A sea of glass may represent the peace and calmness that's in heaven. Won't that be nice? Get to a place where there's peace and it's calm. No troubles, folks. Wouldn't you like to be in a world where there's no troubles? Nothing to bother you, to nag you. God, what a time is coming. And we're going to see these four creatures whose job is to cry holy to the Lord all the time. And now we've been looking into heaven, but we're not going to live in heaven forever. Did you know that? I don't want to disappoint y'all, but y'all not going to live in heaven. Preacher, have you lost your mind? No. No. We're not going to live in heaven. I don't mean to disappoint you. You want to die and go to heaven. Well, we are going to die and go to heaven. But that's not where we're going to spend eternity, folks. And so let me talk a little bit about that. Our new home is going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This one that we're on right now will be melted down. My understanding, and best scholars understand, this earth here will be renovated. It'll be melted down, made new.